Hi, podcast listeners. This is Brian Powers with New Jersey Revolution Radio, and we are back producing podcasts again after a brief absence. We were moving studios, and we apologize for the lapse, but you do get a bonus. Over the next 4 weeks, we'll be doubling up on episodes, putting out a podcast every Monday, and then a new podcast on Thursdays as we go forward and get ready to start a new year, which is hopefully going to bring, you know, bigger and better things for everybody. It was a rough year, you know, with the apocalypse and the pandemic and everything happening. We are really looking forward to starting to get back into some sense of normalcy, not only here at New Jersey Revolution Radio, but around the world. So we're going to start to do that by getting back on track. So tonight we're going to bring you the episode we just recorded this past Wednesday on immigration, incarceration, with a comrade who was arrested by the police just the day before during a peaceful protest as freeholders in North Jersey continue to run from their constituents and allow concentration camps to be run for profit under, you know, their jurisdictions. Shame on all these freeholders, and really thanks to Jake Efros and all the organizers and protesters who have been fighting ICE in North Jersey for years now, and they deserve and need your support. So please reach out, pay attention to this episode. I think it was a really, really important one. Jake did a great job in the interview. If you can help out the cause and our comrades there trapped in North Jersey, we would really appreciate it. Solidarity, and thanks for bearing with us. And thank you, of course, to everybody who's always supported New Jersey Revolution Radio.
2020 is pulling everyone's mask off. I mean, whether it's Democrats and their murder of the Me Too movement and their blind support for someone like Joe Biden.
They seemed really unreasonable, and it's like, are we still playing this game? What do you guys think about that?
In the here and now, that is going to be my concern. We don't want to see any more loss of life just because we lost the home.
And then have these politicians who want to co-opt everything just because it's near election time.
But solutions for these problems have to be positive, and they can't be based in policing. They just can't be based in more authoritarianism. They can't be, they don't arrest your way out of these problems.
All right. So this is the New Jersey Revolution Radio. We're back on the air. And if you notice something different, music is back. And I think I had music in a show like 4 weeks ago. But as everybody knows, we're moving studios. And I'm working off a laptop. And my Bluetooth didn't work. And then I got my board up. And then I was missing a plug for it. And finally, we got enough together where I can bring you some music. And more than that, I can bring you some tracks off the New Jersey Revolution Radio Spotify list. And we'll put a link up in comments, and I got it scrolling down there at the bottom. I put together a little playlist, and I haven't gotten it all together yet. I know there's probably a few artists out there that have contributed to New Jersey Revolution Radio, haven't gotten to you. Remind me, and keep sending me stuff on Instagram. I've getting artists keep reaching out. You listen to Sean Fury there, Think of You, out of Ireland. We've, of course, got what we're listening to now is Q DaVincio, a comrade out of New York who, you know, hung out with Newark a few times before, you know, the apocalypse hit and the pandemic and everybody got sick. There we have Dex the Daps from Trenchtown, Jamaica, the hometown of Bob Marley. So there's cool stuff happening on the arts side of arts and activism. And thank God we got some music back, because I thought the show was missing some without music. And I'll be honest with you, as I get back into gear, I'm looking forward to editing the podcast that we recorded and putting some music in the background, you know, before we get it out there on audio. And I promise you, those backlogged episodes are coming out soon. As a matter of fact, next week we're gonna start putting out 2 episodes every week of NJR Live till we're all caught up. I think I got 3 or 4 backlogged episodes right now. Plus, I've got blogs sitting in drafts right now, and I got creative people waiting to get their word out. So I can't wait to support that. It's just been tech issues. It's been me and my move. But I appreciate you coming in. And again, you know, that song you're listening to in the background, that's Q DaVincio. And Q was on the show once. He helped me co-host one time. And you're going to certainly hear and see more of him, because I like the guy. And he really went over well with our audience. And I think his perspective is going to, you know, continue to be valued here on New Jersey Revolution Radio, as many different perspectives are, especially that of the youth. So I am no longer a young person. I was a while ago. And, you know, so we're going to try to reach out to all different kinds of people, including youth. And that's what we're going to talk to Leah for a few minutes here in a little bit. But, you know, a few programming notes, of course, as we head into the new year. I've promised people things in January are coming, and so far that's what it looks like. We'll probably be doing 1 or 2 more shows here to wrap up the year, including a special episode on cannabis legalization featuring New Jersey Weed Man that I'm currently putting together, amongst other things. So we certainly got a lot coming to you. And it's been a shitty year for just about everybody that I know and everybody that I've seen. And I think most of us are kind of breathing a sigh of relief as this year winds to a close. And I'm certainly in that group. A lot of people spend this time maybe thanking a lot of, you know, and being grateful for what happened during the year. And I'm trying to do that, because there's definitely positive aspects to my life and everybody else's. But it's hard to sit here and think that what I could have really done without a lot of this shit that happened to me in 2020. And I know I'm not alone. But there it is the holiday season, and we should, you know, have, you know, some understanding out there as to everybody's trials and tribulations during what's become like a giant national mental health crisis. And I want to start out by forgiving, because I'm going to court tomorrow again. I was arrested for legal cannabis in 2019 towards the tail end. And, you know, those charges were dropped. They even gave me my weed back. As a matter of fact, it's a true story that I was out of weed one day, and I had that court that very same day. And I really, really wanted to smoke a joint, but I had no weed. When they dropped the weed charges at my very first court appearance, I asked the prosecutor and the judge, can I have my weed back? And they said yes. And I went, had to do a little back and forth, but eventually at the end of that day, I got to post a video of me smoking my bowl in my little metal scoop that was confiscated.
I think it's here. Sorry.
I still use Scoopy to this day to put weed in my bowl. And I'm very proud. And when I see Scoopy, I think that he spent, and I joke around a lot that Scoopy, my little metal scoop that puts weed in my bowl, spent time in lockup and was imprisoned as a political prisoner for a couple of months. And it's true. But that day I was out of weed, I went to the Middlesex County Sheriff's Department and they gave me my weed back. And I thought that was very gracious of them. Unfortunately, there's still some charges pending related to other stuff. And I'll just leave it at that. I have a lawyer working on it, so I can't really comment on the case. But I wanted to reach out to Officer Vandegroot of the Middlesex County Sheriff's Department and just let him know, you know, I've spent a lot of time working, you know, for people I always feel get beat up. You know, I think some of the challenges of being an organizer is dealing with a lot of the people you involve yourself with. They're going through shitty times and need help and need support. And it's not just about, you know, getting them on a podcast, but out of, you know, making sure they have legal help or making sure that they have food or making sure, you know, you can help get them a job or stuff. And that's a lot of the things that the good activists should be doing. To do that, you have to reach out to people with problems and you have to understand and you have to care about them. And I want Officer Vandegroot in this time of year to know that I understand what it's like having, you know, I don't personally understand, but I can empathize with a man with a very small penis, especially when God made you so very big. I mean, he's 6'4", for fuck's sake. The guy weighs 300 pounds. And every day he has to look in the mirror and know that he's disappointed everybody he's ever been with sexually, including himself. And that's a hard thing psychologically to take. And I hope that Officer Vandegroot of the Middlesex County Sheriff's Department can enter the new year. And I tell you, you know, I really don't like police unions at all, but, you know, everybody deserves good health care, and penis enlargement surgery should be, it really should be included. So I'll see you in court tomorrow, Pig. Anyway, we'll bring in Leah here, because I talked about the youth earlier.
We have Jake backstage losing his shit right now. That was great. You're so funny, Brian. You forgive him. He's good. It's all good.
It's time for Andre. I don't want to say that I forgive him because he's really never apologized to me. So I think forgiveness should be earned. But there's certainly, you can always have understanding and empathy, right? We all got problems.
You're at an understanding.
How are you? So you've been with NJRR for like as kind of a more of a contractor role, less of a student intern role over the last couple of months. And one of the reasons why I was really excited is, of course, your age. You're a young person, very young compared to me. Although you're a young woman, you're an adult. You can do things legally. Over the last couple of months as you've grown into NJRR, what do I need to do to get more young people involved? Because I really have done some outreach, and we've got a blog coming from a new writer and all that. Let me ask you this. When you hang out with your peers, do you guys talk about the Venezuelan congressional elections? Does that come up a lot, or what comes up?
I feel like it depends in the spaces that we go. Like, it might not be a typical conversation, but then, like, if we're, like, at some sort of meeting for, like, a club or something that would talk about that stuff, then, yeah, then that would make sense.
Club.
Yeah. I think, like, having Jake on tonight is going to be a step in the right direction to, like, getting young people involved. Because, like, then he'll show his friends the podcast he was on. I show my friends when I'm on.
It's noticeable, you know, the effect on a lot of the numbers, you know, that you've had directly, especially on social media. It's some of your work over the last couple of weeks has been involving yourself on the social media. And that was, you know, because I'm an old cranky guy and I want to make sure that there's a lot more positive energy going out there. I think you've done a great job of that. So thanks a lot. And I appreciate it. I know that you're nervous like anybody would be stepping into a new role. And I've been nervous as we kind of, you know, alter the company to fit the newer model. Are you over those nerves? Are you comfortable now are you starting to feel like part of NJRR's personality kind of?
Definitely. I've been posting some edgier memes, just kind of trusting myself. I mean, some of the videos you posted with like the angrier rants made me more confident that like I could probably post something kind of edgy and get away with it. So, and then just the more I'm here and the more like I feel like I'm just slowly taking on more stuff, and it's I'm getting more comfortable with it as I go along. So I'm great.
Did you pay attention to the Venezuelan congressional elections?
Not prior to this conversation, but starting right now, I really am.
Okay, all right, that's fair enough. I didn't prep you, and as I think maybe, you know, I've said before, the Today Show came together at the last minute. I mean, really, I put an Instagram video out today to let my audience know, you know, and thank God for Jake, you know, coming in here and joining us tonight, and I really do appreciate that. And, you know, artists reached out, and I was like, hey, I got the Spotify playlist come back on, so it's all right if I play your tune. They were all really excited to know that, you know, I'm helping them get some of their music out there. But that's, you know, that's the kind of comrades we got. We can get stuff together quick. It's helpful to have like a constant presence, and that's, you know, that's been your end of everything. The Venezuelan congressional elections. You remember Juan Guaido? When we talked about Juan Guaido, the clown car coup. Were you around for that? Juan Guaido and the clown car coup.
I don't think so.
So, okay, so it might have been before your time, but we've discussed a lot, and I know that some of our comrades were down in Venezuela for this recent election, and those of you that have been following the Venezuelan coup, or attempted coup, or whatever the fuck it was, where some douchebag thought he was going to be president, woke some military guys up first thing in the morning, paraded him out in front of a camera, they were all bleary-eyed, and he said, I'm president! And for some reason, the whole Western world agreed with him. The unfortunate part is that Venezuela didn't. Him, and they didn't vote him in, and the coup has been failing ever since. And so elections were held in this past week down in Venezuela. Again, observed in the United States is demanding that these elections were fraudulent because the opposition party did not partake in them. So basically, you've got a bunch of people that don't vote saying, well, it's fraudulent because we didn't vote in them. It really is an odd set of circumstances to try to promote. And it's pretty embarrassing. That's why you don't see it on the mainstream media, because it's such a foolish appearance for the United States and these Western countries that thought this moron was going to take charge of a country. And now he's basically broke, and everybody's laughing at him. And the opposition party, of course, because they didn't even participate in the elections, the party of, you know, formerly Hugo Chavez, but now the President Nicolas Maduro, won overwhelmingly and is now in charge of all the branches of the government, and they can cry about him being a dictator. Yeah. I did want people to know about that. And, you know, I talked to Bahman Azad from the U.S. Peace Council, who's been on the show a number of times, and he went down there with others to observe the election. I saw some posts on Facebook about how they got treated as far as COVID entering the country. They had to wait. They did a spit test. They were in and out pretty easily, and it was all safe and sanitary. And, you know, they're you know, very pro-Venezuelan stuff. But anyway, I wanted to give an update on that because I think it's important. We've been following what's going on in Venezuela, and I don't think, you know, entering into a Biden administration that we can forget about these underlying wars, because I fear their escalation. I fear their escalation, especially in the Middle East, but even in Venezuela and in other parts of the world, including North Korea.
Yeah, we know what he did last time when he was vice president. Well, what that whole administration did in those parts of the world. So we have to keep an eye out. And they'll do it quietly. They'll try to disguise it. They'll be like, oh, wow, here's this great thing we did. And also, we are bombing civilians now. So, like, we have to keep an eye out. So it's really good that we're talking about this stuff.
Does that come up amongst the young people? Does that narrative? Because I think that narrative is out there. I think more general. I see it on social media a lot more than some of the stuff, the specifics. I see a lot of the, you know, buying as good as. You know.
Yeah, I mean, we definitely complain about that a lot. I think that's like in all of our heads. Like, we all know that's in our consciousness. I think it's important that we get like examples out. Like, honestly, I know that, like, and this is me, I know that, like, Obama administration like bombed all this stuff, but like I don't exactly know where, like, specific examples. So like I'll be paying more attention this time, and that's what's important, I think, is if we could like get more specific examples of these things that we care about.
I've heard a lot of cries, and you hear a lot, and I've heard this kind of from the activist community, which is I'm conflicted on. I get it, but I'm also irritated by it as a guy that likes to put out media for people and likes to publicize activist work. I think it's important for activists to let people know what they're doing and how they're doing it so that other activists can learn from it. The opposition studies us and they know what's up. I mean, we're not going to give out state secrets here on New Jersey Revolution Radio, but I think it's important. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, I think our voice will be taken away quite a bit because the Democratic Party is in charge and they never, ever, ever want to be made to look bad. And I think that there's this call that, oh, well, you know, work at the grassroots, don't mess with these politicians, build stuff that's revolutionary. And I support that, certainly. And I practice that as much as I can in grassroots work. But I also fear that activists are stepping back out of the limelight and ceding some ground to people that own CNN and MSNBC, you know, and I fear that, you know, activists feel like they're pushed out of the spotlight, so they're retreating a little bit into their community programs, whereas, you know, I think there is larger work. I mean, if we want to have revolution, we need revolutionary thought to be dispersed. And so what I'll say is I respect doing ground level work. And as somebody who's, you know, when I got into involvement in the union work and I saw how people who were disconnected from the members did such a shitty job. So you always want to be involved in whatever you're doing, whether it be community feeding or, you know, this media work or political activism of any form. But you also want to elevate your voice as you learn shit. You also want to, you know, root your comrades on who are doing great work. You also want to get out there in the media and create your own media. And I've been hearing this call from activists to, you know, do community work and focus on communities, an excuse not to do larger scale activity and PR work. But I fear that, because if we're not putting messages out, especially on messages on, you know, independent media, you know, not just like this, you know, but there's plenty of great grassroots media, which I'll hope to, you know, hype more and more in the future. But, you know, we've connected with them on New Jersey Revolution Radio just as well as we've connected with artists. And yeah. It's important, you know. And, you know, they can always donate to us, right?
Yeah. I was wondering, and you may have mentioned this, but why do you think that, like, a lot of the mainstream activists you said are, like, kind of stepping down or, like, seceding from the grassroots?
Because the Democratic Party's been browbeating. Because yeah. They're made to, because it's, there's, you know, I've been through a few election cycles. And I've seen the patterns and behaviors from major political parties, and it's not exclusive to any one or even to the third political party movements. But one of the patterns of behavior, if you will, I'm not going to say it's a conspiracy. It's just kind of, you know, the way cycles of events go, it seems every time. And one is for the activist community, pretty systematically to be made to feel like they need to shut up and go away while the important people do politics. And part of that is saying, stay out of media. Don't go do an interview with them because they're bad for you. And I know that's happened to me personally. I mean, I know for a fact that, you know, guests have been scared off this show because some pig fuck Democrat called them and said, don't go on that show. You know, and then they didn't get their met. What's the end result? You help that pig fuck Democrat do whatever, and you didn't get your voice heard. Well, you know, that's the moment when, to me, you prove whether you're grown up enough or not to be an activist. When you don't want to get your message out because the guy's a bit of an asshole to liberals in general, then, you know, whatever. I've never cursed anybody out on the show. I curse them out on Facebook, and they hate me for it. But they can all go to hell. You know, and if that's who you, and, you know, it's happened more than once. It happened more than once to everybody. I'm not exclusive in this. But I think the activists need to recognize what's going on when they're saying, I don't want to do interviews because, you know, I'm, you know, this and that and the other thing. Well, somebody's got to speak out. Somebody has to.
Yeah, yeah. I was just going to say at that point, they're like literally sellouts.
No, I wouldn't go that far. I really wouldn't. There's security issues, you know, for some activists, which I get.
That's actually true. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. You were saying part of this activism scene, like not, it gets to be like a mob almost. It does.
It's culty.
Yeah, it's very culty. So, like, there is personal safety. So, yeah, okay. I guess sellout is harsh.
Here's what I'll say. I'm a white guy with a lot of privileges, and I can get away with a lot more. I'm not imprisoned right now. I'm not incarcerated. I don't have family, you know, that's incarcerated. And then those kinds of things are used as leverage on activists all the time. They arrest activists all the time. They do all kinds of fucked up shit. And that scares people. What I'm saying is it works because I've been arrested. I've been beat up by the cops. I know what it's like. I've been fired by a pig. I know what it's like. And it sucks. And it really just puts you in a depression and makes you feel like nobody gives a fuck about you. Because, you know, it's what depression does. And it's not. And I'm just kind of relating my own experience to other activist experiences and saying, listen, this happens every cycle. Every time people get involved with electoral politics, I see these things happen, and I see the ripples through the communities, and it's all negative for the issues we're trying to address. It's all positive for people that want to get elected and put people in concentration camps.
Yeah. Do you think it's worse, like, after the election, like, that, like, before the election, people kind of, like, use these issues and they're like, oh yeah, we're all gonna stand together, and then after the election they're like, okay, you little activists, go do your sign holding and we'll handle the like after the election is when that's happening.
It's exactly what happened to me at 15 now working with those pissants at Working Families, you know. It was at first they're going to support us. There were some small token gestures and it wasn't bad. And I thought we could work together. And before I knew it, they completely co-opted the messaging and they had a bunch of fucking business owners getting praised by liberal Democrats for raising the minimum wage to almost nothing near what we asked for. And it happened. And what happened to that organization, what happens to activists in general, happens to almost every activist group that ever pops up anywhere that I've ever met. It's how long can you last before they fuck up everything that you've tried to do.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully Revolution Radio is going to last longer.
Definitely. Okay.
I got a different attitude. And we got music like this in the background now.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. As long as you're in charge, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay, Brian.
Commercial time. We used to have jazz music as our commercial music. I mean, maybe we'll change it up a little bit, right? New image?
Yeah.
3 minutes of hate. Money Mustafi. The lead singer's been on the show a couple times, man. Great guy, great international commentary. And this is on their demo. This is on their album 2042, which is their most recent album. And this, you know, my growing up music. I love this stuff. So we'll play some little. I don't know if this is going to sell for our sponsors. Maybe I should just try something else. I don't know. What do we got here? Let's do this in the background. We'll do Nosy Neighbors by Dexter Dimes. Because I want to make sure that we talk about Great Joy Counseling. Okay. And let me pop up Great Joy Counseling. You remember Letitia Sampson?
Hell yeah.
Yeah, we did a special with her. Her podcast was on activism. Letitia has a perspective that comes from a licensed clinical therapist, amongst, and also being an activist and involved with a ton of work. She's been doing a men's health, men's healing circle, and that's posted up on her website, Great Joy Counseling Services, as well as her Facebook page, Instagram, and Twitter, all that. You can take a look at it. And what's happening, I think, you know, this is focused, I believe, on black men and black men's health. But, you know, just from a man's perspective, I'm a white guy. For those of you listening on the podcast, I don't have that perspective. But I've had some interesting conversations with my therapist and my family about being a man and what it means to be a man. And one of the things I reflected on with my wife recently is, you know, men are only pretty much allowed to be angry. And I noticed this in myself, and I've been trying to let some other emotions out on Facebook. But generally, if you look at my Facebook, it's just an angry dude, because that's kind of all we're allowed to be. We're not allowed to show real love, and we're not allowed to be sad. We're not allowed to cry. And a lot of that stuff is still true, I think, across the spectrum for men. And for Letitia and her work and at Great Joy Counseling, she's focused, you know, on activist issues and now on men's health issues. And so we encourage you to reach out to her, Great Joy Counseling. Let them know that you heard about us on New Jersey Revolution Radio. She supports us and she sponsors us. She's going to be coming on doing interviews. She offers important perspective. It's an expert perspective. And if you notice on New Jersey Revolution Radio, we don't just have activists on. We don't just have the oppressed on. We do have experts in. We make sure that we talk to psychologists when we talk about psychological issues, or, you know, doctors when we talk about vaccination issues and other things. So we're not here as propaganda. We're here as fact-based revolution, independent journalism. So we appreciate the expertise that Dr. Letitia Sampson over at Great Joy Counseling brings to us. I want to thank her for sponsoring the program. And make sure you check out her webpage. Definitely check out these men's healing circles that she's running. January 7th, one is getting facilitated. So make sure to check that out tonight. Get reservations or whatever you need, and I'll make sure that when we see the links, we'll put them up. All right, Leah, I'm going to say goodbye to you now. I'm going to bring in Jake, but I want to thank you for all the hard work, and I want to remind people, of course, if you go to this website here, www.njrevolutionradio.com/donate, we really need to start chipping in on a monthly basis, everybody, because Leah writes, and her labor is valuable, and she's good. She's bringing energy. You see all the work on the social media. You think an old cranky man can do just shit like that? I don't even know what an Instagram is. Look at my videos. They're terrible. So, you know, if you want to keep this revolution moving, please subscribe. 15, 20 bucks a month. You know, it only takes a couple of years to make this thing run. We don't spend a lot of money here. So thanks a lot. I appreciate it. Thanks, Leah.
Bye.
All right. I think that was better music for the commercials than 3 minutes of hate. But it doesn't mean I don't love you very, very much, a race trader and money over there. So we're going to do something more stuff with music. Music's really about events, man. And, of course, you know, the apocalypse and the pandemic and everything. Hopefully, vaccinations, people, you know, Joe Biden's going to save the day and everybody's going to be wearing masks. They're going to get out of jail and we're all going to have affordable healthcare, whatever the fuck that means. Hi, Jake. How are you doing, man?
What's going on? I'm doing okay. How about yourself, Brian?
Jake, we tried to get together a while ago, and it got all fucked up because of you know, technical issues. And I'm really glad Jake was circling an ICE detention facility. When was that? What month? Do you remember when that was?
I think that was this April.
Last April. So 8 months ago. I mean, like, you know.
Yeah. Well,
that recent, but this has been, you know, something, and it's one of the things, man, I miss about New Jersey. As I left, a lot of these things started going off. Now I start hearing about hunger strikes and a 10-year extension on the Hudson County contract, and Bergen County's got stuff going on, and it's I tell you what, man, it's been a little tough on me up here to be away from the action. So I thank you for reaching out and doing what you've been doing down there on the ground. You know, we're going to take our place, and my place tonight is just going to be highlighting, you know, why you did what you did, what you did exactly. I want to let everybody know before you start, though, he's Jake is an organizer. He's with North New Jersey Democratic Socialists of America. He's also a core member of the Abolish ICE New York and New Jersey Coalition. I want to ask you a little bit about that, too, because I don't know too much about that coalition. Born and raised at Montclair, North Jersey, of course, up there in Essex County, where many of my comrades reside, as we remember the famous town that Chris Christie referred to, where all the communists in Montclair were. My comrade Greg Payton and all socialists had a fun time with that up there. And he's been doing a lot of work, you know, at the detention centers, the concentration camps that ICE is running in New Jersey. He's worked on the Bernie, campaign in 2020. I learned my lesson by then. And right now you're working at a bar, and I guess that's what I want to talk to you first about is are you currently working and serving patrons in a restaurant or something right now?
Yeah. So I mean, I got some work at the spot a couple blocks away from me in Jersey City, and you know, I'm grateful for the work, but yeah, I mean, food service, it's rough right now. It's just rough right now. And
Republican fundraisers.
You know what? I haven't asked all the patrons, but it's could be.
Well, I mean, it's tough in solidarity to everybody in food service. My mom was a waitress at a bowling alley, Clark Lane's, back in the day, worked the midnight shift. And very difficult work, and you're on your feet all the time, and customers were never respectful to a female. I can tell you that. She had some stories
for sure. And yeah, now just with like COVID, obviously, like there's a whole new level of respect with masks, no masks. Like, you know what kind of people like have it in their head to like, oh, maybe if this person's 2 feet away from me taking my food order, maybe, you know.
Well, I hope people respect you more, both in wearing masks, getting vaccinated, and leaving you big fucking tips too, man. I mean, you
know, here to all the food service workers everywhere, please.
Just because we hate capitalism doesn't mean we don't gotta participate in it, right?
I mean, you said it.
It helps to pay the bills. So thanks a lot for coming on. Like I said, man, I've been hearing things that are going on. I'll be honest with you. As I've said, I've had little time to prep for shows and shit. I know it sounds like, you know, pellet bombs are going off around New Jersey, around detention, ICE, these concentration camps. Can you just give me an overview before we get into some of the details as to what you see happening overall? Essex, Bergen, Hudson County. What the fuck?
Yeah, I mean, it's a total nightmare. So ICE detention, obviously, is going on, and as you said, these are camps, right? Is going on in four different locations in New Jersey. So there's Essex County, which is ICE contracts with the county level there, ICE contracts with the county in Bergen and in Hudson, and then there's a privately run detention center in Elizabeth, and that's operated by Core Civic, leased out by Elberon Development Group.
That's the one I kind of want to ask you about first, because it's just the one I got and I was closest to or something. What is the latest? Let's just take them one by one. What's the latest is Essex County?
So in Essex County, what's interesting is that for years and years and years, that was the site of the most activism from a lot of the anti-ICE organizing. And certainly over the summer, we were hammering the Essex County freeholders to close the detention center. But recently our focus has just shifted away from Essex a little bit more. But certainly it's in our sights, and that facility, actually the contract between the county and ICE is set to expire in the next, couple of years if they don't renew it. So, I believe it's the next like year or two. So we're really trying to like think about the long term in those next couple of years. How can we make sure that, you know, if we can't just shut it down now, how do we not get it renewed past that, so it can just close out whatever contract is currently there? But certainly a lot of the efforts around the detention facilities has shifted a little bit away from Essex in recent months, just because of like outstanding like sucks of energy and time from Bergen and Hudson and the Elizabeth Detention Center.
Yeah. So we still have some time to work on whether that, but I believe that the Core Civic had said they would not renew the contract there, the private company that leased the building. Has there been any backtracking on that, or anything like,
Right. So that's for the Elizabeth, the privately run Elizabeth Detention Center rather than the Essex County one.
Okay. Right. So I appreciate that correction.
No, for sure. For sure. So, I know they all get jumbled up, but, like over the summer, Elbron Development Group, was getting, I think it was in August, I believe. We were just hounding them, activists, lawyers, advocates, right? Formerly detained people in community, directly impacted community members, just hounding Elbron Development Group to actually do something about their lease with Core Civic, which operates the Elizabeth Detention Center. And finally, Elbron sent out this wacky email that was saying, you know, we've heard the community. We're gonna basically get on a path to closing out this lease. There were no specifics, there were no timelines, and basically we found out later that the lease that Core Civic has with them, this could go up for another 7 years. So I mean, it's total nonsense, and it's just like it completely evading responsibility for warehousing human beings in this facility.
Yeah. Have you personally been involved with any discussions with any of the freeholders? Have you had any feedback from them on which direction they're going in? Do you feel that any of them at this point are being supportive of ending the contracts, or is it just like Biden won, so cool?
So that, I mean, what you just said, like Biden won, cool. That's a lot of the sentiment. But like in Hudson County, we have a couple of freeholders currently who did just vote to actually cancel the ICE contract in Hudson. There's three of them exactly. You know, we really appreciate their votes for that. But the fact that 6 out of 9, you know, again, Democrats, all of them, 6 out of 9 freeholders in Hudson County made this kind of argument of like, look, we need to maintain this facility. It's best. It's what's best for the people in detention there to keep them here. All this garbage. And then on top of that, like, yeah, the Biden administration is going to come in and things are going to be better. And we know that that's a lie because obviously Joe Biden is vice president and the Obama administration and mass deportations and expansion of ICE under the Obama administration here. So we know that, as you were saying earlier too, like regardless of the party, ICE is like a terroristic agency. You know, this is not,
it's not, it's not like one. It is one. I mean, right. We've gotten reports of them. I mean, you literally got reports of these showing up near schools to grab parents after they drop their kids. And those are true reports. Those are coming to me from friends who witnessed it and talked to the families. Like, I ain't getting this stuff off of wacky media, man. These fucking pigs are torturing people and separating families and letting people die in a pandemic because they don't like that they came here without the right fucking paperwork. It's...
Precisely.
Who gives a fuck, man? You know, it's discouraging, you know, when we talk, I think some of the times you talk about it on a macro level and policy and all this stuff. And, you know, I want to be clear that the three freeholders, Bill O'Day, Joel Torres, and Fannie Sedino are the ones that voted against the contract. That's right. And, you know, I'll say their names, but I did come down on them, and I'll come down on all of them. Did they go out for lunch with these fucking pricks afterwards? You know, I mean, how is the social dynamic? Because I think social and what the support of the party is mean something, too. But clearly the freeholders who voted for this, you know, contract, and I'll go over their names now. The chairman, Anthony Veneri, Kenny Copage, Caridad Rodriguez, Albert Cifelli, Jerry Walker, Anthony Romano. Yep. You know, let me ask, I just New Jersey, let me ask you, do your kids play in these guys' Little League team? Do you go to their businesses? Do they advertise in the church bulletin? Because they shouldn't be able to walk down the fucking street without tomatoes getting thrown at them by every immigrant that ever walked into New Jersey. These guys should not be comfortable in their own skins. But, you know, that's the vote. I want to make sure we're clear on who. And those they voted for us, man, stay strong and keep growing. Because if you don't organize against them, you know, they're going to take you over one way or another. They're going to do exactly what I was talking about with Leah before. They're going to crush them into whatever little cult they can crush them into. And you may lose those three if they don't actively organize, you know? I'm worried about it. No, anyways, sure. Let's move up after that cheery conversation. It gets worse because, like you said, Essex is probably one that we have some time to organize. So good luck, and we'll support you in that continuing fight. But it gets worse as we move off to the northeast and northwest of Essex. Where do you want to start?
Well, let's highlight Bergen. So in the Bergen County Jail, today marks the 25th day of the most recent hunger strike at this jail. 25 days. And we have just been scrambling to do whatever we can to show solidarity and support the people inside who are on this hunger strike. There have been 9 hunger strikers, and one hunger striker who was in ICE detention. His name is Marcial. He was released, thankfully, and he has just been, you know, working tirelessly to turn out support for the rest of his, you know, brothers inside. I mean, it's really, really incredible the work he's done, connecting with advocates, activists, organizers, lawyers, etc. I mean, it's been really, really incredible. But there have been scares of like serious health concerns, It's really shameful how the people in charge, like the county sheriff and the county freeholders in Bergen, are taking no responsibility for this. No responsibility. They're saying, well, you know, the hunger strikers are protesting these conditions that we don't really have responsibility for, denying the things that they're hunger striking against, like the rats, mice running around the facility, turning off the heat. Meanwhile, back in the summer, the AC was broken, and so it was sweltering hot. Medical neglect. These places are completely inhumane, to put it lightly. And it's just disastrous the way that these public officials are avoiding responsibility.
The stories of ICE nationally, you know, and we've had to highlight the intentional sterilization of women in other states, you know, and other horror stories. So for people to deny that this is a terrorist organization is beyond the pale of crazy for me, to be honest with you. So in Bergen County seems this is dire because, you know, there could be loss of human life. I'm kind of, after 25 days, I'm thankfully surprised that nobody has passed away yet. I'll be honest with you. That's a long time. Let me ask you specifics about the hunger strike. I'm not sure how many people are still participating. How long have they been going, and are they taking in water? Are they taking in any kind of minimal food or anything to make it through? Or, cause I know, you know, fast and hunger strikes, I know that they even did, I believe they force fed a couple of them, correct?
Yeah. So there were some, reports about people being tricked into being fed. There were promises of, people actually getting released if they would eat, in order to break this hunger strike. And then, you know, people were not released. But no, it differs because there are 9 individuals involved in this hunger strike. I believe 4 of them, there were reports about being taken to medical center because of extremely dire conditions, not drinking enough fluids in addition to, or on top of, not eating anything. But these reports have been really sketchy. So we want to make sure we have all the right information. But as of right now, I mean, so much has been going on today that I haven't even been able to keep up with threats of transferring two individuals out of Bergen. And this whole story that's been unfolding today is something I myself need to catch up on because I've been focused on the Hudson County business today. But things are really dire. Again, this is 25 days of individuals being on hunger strike, protesting conditions in the ICE camp.
Yeah. So there's, you know, what I found a lot with bureaucracy is there's always channels which they can protect themselves in, but give you the feeling like you're fighting them. But it's clearly at this point, I don't know that there's a lot of appeals to have against their action. One thing is I want to point out for our audience that they did a public hearing on this a couple of weeks back before voting on the contract. And I believe it's about 4 hours long. I believe a total of almost 80, 79, 78 community members somewhere in that neighborhood. I don't want to give it, but it was in that neighborhood. That's about right, right, Jake? I mean, you know, that's good.
Yeah.
But and not a one of them, not a single one person in that community spoke in favor for this detention facility.
Right. I mean, this is the thing too. And again, the same thing is happening in Hudson, right? On November 24th, I believe, was this historic meeting of the freeholders that took 12 hours, 12 and a half hours. And not a single person who did public comment said anything positive about ICE was there to talk about how we should keep the contract. So on the first level, it's just abhorrent, the conditions, right? It's abhorrent that anyone should be incarcerated, period, right? It's abhorrent that anyone should be incarcerated for their documentation status.
Yeah.
And to ignore the public outcry against this is, again, as you said, beyond the pale. I mean, it's
crazy. And you know, before we move on to the county, I mean, it's just to be pointed out that this isn't any kind of Democratic herd over the last couple of weeks in the mainstream media is our great. We've heard a lot about our great democracy. If you haven't heard somebody say that our great democracy, you haven't turned on the TV or radio, or whatever, which I'm trying not to as much as fucking possible. I'll be honest with you. But, you know, you've heard this term. Where the fuck is our great democracy when six pigs can overrule an entire community united 100%? Like,
yeah.
I mean, don't get it, but yet, it's crazy.
They heard direct testimony from people who were formally detained, and they still voted. Yes, they still voted.
Freeholder Chairman Anthony Veneri, Kenny Kopage, Caridad Rodriguez, Albert Cefeli, Jerry Walker, and Anthony Romano. I hope your friends, I hope your family, I hope your fucking children look at you like the pigs that you are every day. I really hope everybody knows what you did and how many lives you affected, and you're fucking Nazis. That's all you are. You're Nazis. Don't give me a fucking bullshit about, oh, we don't like being called Nazis. You act like them. And I hope everybody you ever met in your whole life knows what a pig Nazi you are. You don't mind taking blood money when an entire community would have supported you. You would rather torture people. Look your kids in the eye and let them know that's the kind of man or woman you are. Look your kid in the eye and say, mommy or daddy took some money today to torture people. That's the kind of fucking pig you are. Tell your kids who you are. Thank you. Moving upwards and onwards.
That's right.
One more to get through, bro. We can do this, right? We can do this.
Yeah.
Horrifying to even think about. I can't imagine people living through it, but we got to get through this. The last one left is Hudson County, right?
That's right. And what's, I guess, I already started to talk about this, like
a little bit, yeah, you know, yeah. But
we've named these freeholders that voted yes.
I'm sorry, Hudson. We did Bergen and Hudson. Now, did we get through both?
Well, we were talking about Bergen with the hunger strike.
Let's get more.
We can dig deeper into Hudson if you'd like.
Let's do Hudson. Yeah, that was my segue into Hudson. Very smooth.
Phenomenal.
I'll edit it. It'll sound
phenomenal. Yeah, I mean, this is the thing. This is the thing. So, I believe it was November 24th, the six that you've named voted in favor of renewing the ICE contract for the legal language was as long as is legally permissible, right? So that gives the county executive, this guy Tom DeGise, a blank check to continue the ICE contract for as long as he pleases, right? Mm-hmm. And so that's why a lot of the activism in Hudson has been targeting Tom DeGeese, saying like, look, this guy has complete control now. He gets to do whatever he wants, and he has the power to terminate the ICE contract immediately if he so chose. And so,
so that's what I'm sure he's going to do that, right?
Well,
no,
not at all. He's being totally obstinate again in the face of historic and overwhelming public dissent. Last week, a few days following the freeholder meeting in which they voted to renew the ICE contract, protests and vigils every night began in front of County Executive DeGeese's home. There are chants, you know, things like immigrants are welcome here, when immigrants' rights are under attack, what do we do, stand up, fight back. And then every single night, you know, we've broken into a silent vigil and held that vigil to commemorate those who've died because of this jail. Be they people who were kidnapped by ICE and placed in detention, and staff members, including a corrections officer, including a corrections officer whose family is suing because of this wrongful death, because five of these staff members have died of COVID this year because of the facility. So, yeah. So this whole thing about like the county's like trying to get this ICE money for jobs, I mean, it's ludicrous. The people whose jobs, they're dying.
Some modern day slavery, I don't think lives mean that much. Even the workers there, even the suckers who put on a badge and beat these people are still suckers.
Everyone is getting robbed. Everyone is getting screwed by this thing. Except for guys like Tom DeGeese, because he gets to hold on to his power. And so in a really egregious power play, last night, Tom DeGeese and five of the freeholders put out a restraining order against five named individuals and up to 20 unnamed individuals.
I hope I'm on that list. Damn it. If I wasn't made, if I wasn't that time, I'd be 21.
I know it's like the VIP list for leftist organizing.
Yeah, man. Out of that one. So a restraining order saying they got to stay away from them, can't call them. What is
that? So Brian, I can just read you some of the beautiful
skin turds.
I'm sorry, that ain't funny,
but it just shows you
it's amazing. It's amazing. And what's amazing is how obviously blatantly unconstitutional this document is. But okay. So order that defendants, blah, 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 restraining defendants from protesting, picketing in front of the private residence of county executive. I'm sorry.
They did the thing. They did that for Sweeney in his hometown.
Oh, they did.
Oh yeah. Back in the day when the gun rights people showed up.
No way. Okay. Well, yeah, I mean, so he's had it so that, restraining defendants from protesting, picketing in this like loosely defined area. You can only do it between 7 p.m. and 8 p.m. You can only protest or picket one night every 2 weeks. You can only have 10 people present during any protest. You got to notify the cops a day before, 24 hours before. I mean, so it's totally... I mean, it's a blatant violation of first.
Did a judge issue this, or did they try?
Yes,
the judge issued this. So
it's signed by
labor strikes. You see this a lot in labor strikes. So this is not a new tactic for pigs, but it's definitely something that I saw at Verizon when I was on strike. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Who is the judge that ordered? Do you remember what judge?
Whatever pig they put up there.
Yeah.
Who gives? I mean, they're all the same. I mean, nobody's worked for us. I mean, it was we were protesting like Verizon wires, and they're like, you're bothering our stores, and like that's the fucking point of a strike. Now give us our money and shut up. But democracy will never work because they're just going to leverage police state against you. That's what they're doing. Clearly, they don't have approval of the community. Clearly, they shouldn't be doing this. Clearly, they're slovenly, genocidal pigs.
Yep.
The only way they can enforce these horrific policies is through enforcement of police state. And these are, this is just the tip of the iceberg. I mean, now you show up and they beat you. I mean, that's what's going to happen.
Well, so we show up last night, right? We show up.
It happened already. I didn't even know.
So we show up last night, and there's a ridiculous number of sheriff's officers there. And again, we show up. We're really straight up just here to cancel this ICE contract. We are here to talk about how there are people suffering in detention right now. And we again hold our 11-minute vigil. The sheriff's officers try and clumsily. I mean, they don't really know how to read a restraining order to people whose names aren't on the restraining order. Like, they don't know what to do. So,
pigs are the dumbest motherfuckers.
So
you try to see them follow orders and it's the funniest shit. They got to do something other than eat a donut or shoot your dog. They really don't know what the fuck to do.
They hop around a cardboard box full of these papers and they're like trying to get everyone to like take the restraining order. And we're like, what are you doing? Trying to get us to take this restraining order? Like, so I mean, it's totally nuts. But what ends up happening is that one person who was named on the restraining order was... she says she was like, I just need to call the bluff on this. Like, there's no way they're going to arrest. So she offered herself up for arrest, basically. And then they start arresting her, but then they go in for other people. And everyone else is like walking away and they arrest one other person. As kind
of video of us? Is there video of us?
There's multiple live streams. And so we have video of both those arrests, this person getting taken away, the rest of the group, including myself, we start walking back. And there's a sheriff's officer saying, disperse. And we're questioning, we're not named in this restraining order. What are you talking about? How are you gonna put this restraining order out against us? And then they decide to take some more people. So they take one of my comrades who is out there, and then they grab me. I was thrown against a car, handcuffed. We got processed, booked. Maybe about 4 hours we were out. And that's what happened last night. And today has been, how do we make sure that this event, that this egregious violation of First Amendment rights, rights to assembly, rights to speech, etc., gets shown for what it is, which is Tom DeGeese, the county executive, using the sheriffs of the county to quell dissent against his ICE contract. Literally, as you said, the people are not on his side. He doesn't have public support for this. And the people who are out here showing solidarity and trying to commemorate with a vigil, for people suffering and who have died from ICE detention, getting arrested.
After all this testimony, you wonder, you just start to think that there's no change in their minds. I mean, there's no, what do you do, at a point when, I hate to quote a liberal, but JFK said, if you're not going to make peaceful revolution possible, what do they do? They're basically bringing it to violence. That's what they're going to do.
Well, they want to paint us to be the violent ones. So they're going to instigate.
And then we always know. And I guess, the problem is public perception outside of our circles. And I think that's where, messaging is important and people have got to understand the meaning behind these protests, but I don't think they see that in mainstream media even. I mean, they may put out there that activists were arrested. They may put out there that, kind of some of these stories in 5-minute blurbs, but I don't think the American public understands what you're fighting for. To them, it's a macro problem of too many immigrants coming in and what do we do? It's not a problem that somebody's starving in a prison because of these hard conditions. It's not these stories of these politicians taking out restraining orders because they're fucking wimps and can't face the people they purport to represent. Because they don't represent them. They're pigs and they're glad to roll around with pigs. And that's unfortunate. That doesn't get out there. Where do we go from here? That's how I wrap up these interviews. We're running short on time. I want, you know, I thank you for being here tonight. And I want to thank my audience for hanging in there. We had, people have been sticking around and watching this. It's been a hard interview, man, to hear this stuff. I laugh a little bit to break the tension, but it doesn't take away from the seriousness. And the objective is not just to complain and moan, but actually to take action. I can feel the frustration. And I hope my audience is just as frustrated and agitated. And then at that point, I've done my job, and I get to hope to their organizers on the ground that can point people in the right direction. What can people do to help?
So, I mean, me personally, right? Like I'm a maximalist in this kind of thing. We need people in every single avenue of the movement and of the revolution. Like, we need people ready to do direct action, and we need people, if they have institutional connections, to use those institutional connections and leverage them. And we gotta do it all. But look, one thing I will say is that every single Friday we've been getting together throughout the entire pandemic, and this is the Abolish ICE New York New Jersey Coalition. We've been putting on these phone zaps where we get together. We call public officials, we email public officials collectively, and we absolutely clog their lines, make sure that they pay attention to this. And this is what's been building the momentum. That's not the only piece, but this is what's been helping build some of the momentum that's getting us to the point where we have the county executive taking a restraining order out on activists. And so I think that's one pretty accessible piece for people to get involved in, like making those phone calls, making those emails, meeting up, over Zoom with every one of the other comrades who's doing this, to get familiar with the narrative, right? To get familiar with the stories that are going on, and to get familiar with yelling at the people who are supposed to be representing us. I think it's a really, really effective way to get people involved. So if you haven't done that, and please, it's bit.ly, like the little bit.ly links, free them all. It's going to be 12/11 for December 11th. So bit.ly/free them all 12/11 is a really great way to join up and to start contributing.
It feels like a crisis moment in North Jersey. I know that a lot of activists are running all over the place trying to get everything done. So I want to thank you and, Kathy, our comrade, and everybody who's been helping to make this interview tonight happen, because it wasn't easy and it did come together at the last minute. So I knew there were some arrests, and Kathy said I couldn't because of phone connections and the digital age. I didn't even know you were one of the arrestees. I thought that you were talking about that. So I want to thank you, man. And I hope, are you okay? I mean, I know it's kind of shitty to get tossed in this. Are you okay? How's your head and everything? You good?
Thankfully I'm all right. You know, there were some pretty minor injuries, like my ribs are sore. Being tossed around, but, look, I'm grateful, and I'm really grateful to the comrades, the jail support network. Like we have each other in this, and, that's why I'm really hopeful that we're going to be able to free them all and ICE detention, because this is only growing, and it's only getting bigger and more powerful, and more seeing the atrocities inside.
I wish you the best of success, and I've gone to jail in situations that were kind of set up a little bit, and cops were pretty friendly, and I've also been in situations where I got my ass thrown in jail, and there's a big difference between the two. This certainly sounds like the former. So I'll let you know that I support you personally, and New Jersey Revolution Radio is here for you, man. If you need anything,
thanks, Brian.
Reach out. All right, because getting thrown into jail by pigs ain't no fun on you. Even if you walk away unscarred physically, it fucks with your head, man. So stay strong, brother. Thanks for coming on tonight. Check out Jake. Make sure you check out Abolish ICE line out there and get with the program. I mean, understand that this is about a family and that an immigrant's kids ain't no different than your kids. And this is not about politics. It's not, I don't really care if you're even right wing or conservative. You want to be a party of family values? You know, families belong together. And I really don't care about paperwork. I'm not a big paperwork guy, you know, just it, right?
Thanks again to Jake
and all the groups out there working on this. There's a ton of you, and I can't start naming you because I'll forget some of you. But, you know, I encourage my audience, audience to pay attention. I'll be back next week for sure, but I'm getting ready to break down for the holidays, people. I got to be honest with you. It's December. I'm going to be celebrating my birthday pretty soon. And, yeah, man, I'm getting up there again. So I took another trip around the sun, Christmas, New Year's. We're going to be doing one or two more shows, and then you won't see us till January something. And there's going to be some big changes coming. I'm telling you, I ain't bullshitting. You hear the music is back in the background. Oh, the show just feels right better with music. I'm in a better mood already. January is going to be even more big changes, big steps forward. We're going to take it to another level. That's what I'm telling you. So donate, and it'll help me make that happen even bigger than what I've already got in my own head. All right. www.njrevolutionradio.com. You can do it on PayPal, Action Network. You can Cash App us. Cash symbol is NJRevRad. Or you can Venmo us. All that stuff's on our donate page. Please help us. Also share this and tune in next week at 8 p.m. like we do every Wednesday night. Until then, it's Brian Powers, and I want to remind you that the police can quit their jobs. Good night, everybody.
Fail miserably. We don't make movies, we make history. And literally, it's being written right now. Got love for Virginia, but I'm glad I left town. What I'm living with.